It's good to be in God's house, amen. This is Remembrance Day, as we've heard and as we've known. Those of you that have grown up in Canada, this would be, if it happened on the weekday, or even on a weekend, it would be the school day prior to it, you'd have an assembly. And you would acknowledge freedoms that come because of the sacrifices that others have made. And we understand and value that. But I'm a bit of an anomaly. I think you know that, right? Okay, just to thank you. Appreciate you just saying a little bit. I thank you. And I don't want to diminish what I say from those that have sacrificed for our freedoms. But I want you to know this, and if you don't already know this, is that your freedoms make you lazy. I said that out loud, whoops. Our freedoms make us feel entitled. Our freedoms bring us to a place where we assume this is ours because we are free. And the church in North America is desperately lost. I'm not talking just to TPA. You notice I said just, okay? I'm not talking just to TPA. I'm talking to all the Church of Christ in this continent. We've become accustomed to our freedoms. But the day is coming when our freedoms will be diminished. Already, legislation is in place here in the nation of Canada that restrict what I can preach if I don't want to go to jail. But jail ministry has always been an aspiration of mine, and so I will still preach the Word of God. Okay? Praise the Lord. You okay with that? Okay, I normally drink water, but today is a coffee day, so bear with me, okay? Just a bit of a precursor. I'll have a sip and then I'll tell you. I'm ecstatic that you have confirmed the will of God. You assumed your vote of a couple weeks ago was your will. But all it was a confirmation of God's will for you. I've known Pastor Rob and have sat around leadership table on an executive level, an executive district level, and he's a good guy. He's a good guy that has leadership qualities and capabilities that will bring you to a new level and where you need to be. He's kingdom-minded, and that's what TPA needs to be. Needs to be kingdom-minded. We, the Church of Christ, on this planet, need to be kingdom-minded. And so this morning, we're going to look at a remembrance and entitled this Remembrance Day sermon, "Today You'll Be With Me." It's the words of Christ as he hung on the cross. And the question was asked of him by the criminal that hung on one side. "Today," he said, "you'll be with me in paradise." The question was this, or the statement was this: "Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Luke 23:39-43, these are the words that we read. "And one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But others rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear? Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of your deeds. But this man had done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly, I say to you, today you'll be with me in paradise. Let's pray. God, we thank you now for your word. We pray for a freshness of the anointing of your spirit to stir our hearts. God, give us a spirit to receive. That God, a word, your word that is spoken, God, would profoundly impact us. That God, it would challenge us not just for today, but it would challenge us for eternity. That God, we would look forward not to today we would be with you in paradise. We would look forward to this day, for as it is in heaven, so shall it be on earth. That God, we're living in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And God, we would advance your kingdom, Lord. We praise you for this. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. My dad's a veteran. He's 79 years old. He was a veteran in the American Army. And he served in Vietnam. And so I have close to me those that have fought for our freedoms. We see that there are wrangling, saber wranglings all over this planet, and there's the advancement of ISIS and other terrorist organizations that would threaten our freedom. And my response is, yeah, go ahead. Make it so. Make it so. Because there's nothing that can take my freedom that we're going to talk about today. There's nothing that can take our freedom, physical freedom. And we human beings so often become so temporal that we cannot begin to see the eternal in things. We become temporal in this. Oh, I'm having a rough time. I could give you my own testimony of the last 3 months. On the 28th of July, I woke up in the morning after doing some work with a friend the day before, and then ended up having to go to a walk-in clinic in Chase and diagnosed with an infection in my foot. I was 22 years with a cane, and then was delivered from that. 2 years later, it came back to me. You need to know this, that God's promises are without repentance. That's God's promise. That's what he says. His promise is without repentance. There's an infection in my foot because I'm disturbed. I was talking to Brother Dave, where are you at? I need to see you later. I'm disturbed. No. Okay. No. The marrow in my bone has been disturbed because of surgery that happened 23 years ago. Finally, it's crawling out and causing havoc in tissues in my foot. God healed me. I had lesions that were there for 22 years. Lesions that were there for 22 years that didn't go away. God healed me. And for 2 years, I was pain-free. 2 years, that foot was like new. Then it came back. Does that mean that God took away my healing? No, it doesn't. It simply means this, is that the enemy wants me to become distracted and not be kingdom-minded. I become temporal-minded because I have pain and I focus on pain. Can't do that. Can't do that. God's given me a call. God's given me a call to reach beyond myself. God's given all of us a call. Oh, no. I work in a secular field, or I work in an office, or maybe I work at the mill. I don't know. Maybe I run a jackhammer. Whatever it is I do. I do these things that I don't have. Yes, we do all have a call. We do all have a call. And a call is this, to advance the kingdom of God. And we do it. We advance the kingdom of God by being a witness, not by what we say, but by how we live. So today we're going to look at the silence of testimony of our Savior Jesus Christ, okay? Jesus, pitying the sighs of the thief who were near thee dies, promise him in paradise, hear us, O holy Jesus. May we in our guilt and shame still thy love and mercy claim, calling humbly on thy name. Hear us, holy Jesus. T.B. Pollock, 1870, wrote those words. Just a few years ago, right? Okay? They still apply today. God, you need to hear us. You need to hear me. My plea is not this. It's not a plea, but it's an offering of thanksgiving, my freedom. My freedom. God, I thank you that I'm free. To whom the Son is set free is free indeed. The source of the arrangement of the cross at Golgotha is uncertain, and no one knows for sure why Jesus was hung between those two thieves. Perhaps it was Pilate's idea, adding additional insult to injury, since the procurator heard that this would be the Messiah, beloved, who loved the sinners so much. Maybe it was ordered by the Jewish officials, desiring to leave the sarcastic impression that these were the only kind of people over whom this imposter Messiah reigned as king. Or would have been the centurion's call to place Jesus on the center cross, since he was certainly the most notorious. Whoever made the decision, the likelihood is that there was malice in their intent. Yet above all, there was a divine purpose at work, and Christ was never one to miss his purpose. What happens to you today? What goes through your life today? What has transpired this week? You need to begin to understand that it's not about you. It's not about you. You may suffer, you may have hardship, or maybe that passes you by. Maybe God brings prosperity in your life. You being prosperous is not about you and to pad your pocket and to pad your bank account. It's about how can you advance the kingdom of God. Right. It's about how God can do something in you and through you to change your world. How that you can bring the message of the cross on a Remembrance Day Sunday. That yes, God, today I will be with you in paradise. Today I have opportunity to know that God, life has come to me and that I'm not a wretched sinner in need of redeeming. I'm a wretched sinner that has been redeemed. I've been set free. Now I can walk in the liberty of Jesus Christ. I am free. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about me. Go ahead. I think he's talking. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about me. Oh, man. I'm going to have to phone up Pastor Rob and say, your work is cut out for you. These people just don't listen. Wow. Self-willed. I don't know, man. Above all their divine purpose at work, the Christ was never one to miss that purpose. The fact again and again, and the careful eye of the reader who ponders these last dark scenes discovers the deep meaning and the hidden truths in every shared action. In every random word aimed at Jesus for the purpose of dishonoring and abusing him. Deeper meanings and hidden truths that bring him honor and intensify our respect. Wow. Bring honor to Christ. That when he hung on the cross and his final statement was this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Brings honor to him because he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might be free for eternity. This is the day at 11 a.m., nearly a century ago, World War I ceased. Only a few decades later, we had something called World War II. Right? Freedom that man provides is only temporal. Freedom that a paycheck is only temporal. Freedom of health is only temporal. But freedom from sin is eternal. Freedom from sin is eternal. Wow. I'm free. I'm free. It gave Jesus right up to the very end of his earthly life an opportunity to reach out in hope and compassion to those desperately in need. But make no mistake, He did so while continuing to endure inexpressible pain. When a man was hanging on a cross, suspended on iron spikes, he wanted one thing and one thing only, death. He thought the one person only himself, death wouldn't come fast enough. That makes the seven statements of Christ uttered during the 6 hours he was on the cross. Incredible. Unlike all other victims of crucifixion, he was more concerned about others and their needs than he was about himself. What do you learn? What do you learn? This is what I've learned. This is what I've learned. I know your thought. Go ahead, tell me, old man. This is what I've learned. You know, I've walked with God since God was a boy. I didn't say since I was a boy, since God was a boy, okay? I've been around a while, right? And this is what I've learned. I've learned that my purpose is to worship God. That's my purpose. That's your purpose. That's all of our purpose. That's why we were created, to bring glory to God. I stand before you as one in need of physical healing. I've already had conversation with God. Now I leave it at that. He says, now what you need to do is you need to worship me, your healer. So that's what I do. God, I rejoice in you. Every night I kneel beside my bed with my wife and we pray together. She's been diagnosed, as I said last time I was here, with ankylosing spondylitis, an incurable disease. That's supposed to be degenerative, but in her it is not. God's doing things. God's doing things. God's faithful. And we pray and we worship God. And that's the part of our prayer is, God, we worship you. We exalt you. We glorify you, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. God be glorified. God, you receive glory. I've also learned that I need to rejoice in Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Wapsnagwada may be my employer, but God is the one that makes provision. It seems like bills pile up. You know what I'm talking about, right? Winter's coming and my snowboard kaput. Okay, a new one coming down the road, $3,000. No, I don't think so. Okay. I have water in the well, but the pump fails. Ah, come on, God, that's $1,800. If I dwell on the fact that I have bill, if I dwell on the fact that I have need, then my need becomes my God, because that's what I worship. You hear what I'm saying? Say amen if you want to. Okay. If not, you get to sit there like this. It's okay too. I could preach like this too, okay? I'm not scared of you. I'm just giving you what God gave me, okay? Okay. I'm trying. So every night my prayer is also this. God, Jehovah Jireh, I exalt you. I worship you. You are my provider. I will not give glory to my need. And I will not give glory to my infirmity. But I will exalt God, my provider, my healer. That was just a bonus. Okay. So number one, it was all introduction, right? Point number one, Point number one, a life and death dialogue. Luke 23, 39 to 43, one of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the others rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence and condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Oh, there we go. Bigger font. And Jesus said to him, "Truly, today, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." I'm speaking of the two men crucified with Jesus. Luke uses the common word for an evildoer as he identifies them as a criminal. Matthew offers another nuance. At that time, two robbers were crucified with him. The word that Matthew uses is the word that is used for bandits. We could call them hoodlums. Perhaps they were members of an organized scheme to overthrow the Roman government. There's good reason to believe that these men were partners in crime with Barabbas, who was both an insurrectionist and a murderer. It is likely that these two men were criminals that were mentioned in Mark 15:7, where it says, "And the man named Barabbas had been imprisoned with the insurrectionist who had committed murder in the insurrection." Suffice it to say, these two men were not first-time offenders who have made a couple of slight mistakes in life and gotten caught. They were criminals, thugs, hoodlums. This was a supreme effort to humiliate Christ, crucify this innocent man alongside these worst of evildoers. Wow. What is it you suffer? How is it that you suffer? How is God being glorified? Change your perspective. It's hard to think otherwise. It's hard to think outside your pain. It's hard to think outside your need when it is so evident, when it's right there before you. It's difficult to deal with issues of life when they seem so overwhelming. When they seem like they're going to take and rule your life, they control you. But none of us has suffered as Christ has suffered. But what was his purpose? His purpose was to redeem mankind. What is our purpose? Not to redeem mankind, but to introduce them to our Redeemer. The purpose of the church is not to fill it with people that we're comfortable with. It's to fill it with people who God's comfortable with. Right? Who is God comfortable with? Everybody, exactly. Come on, Sister Croker. Is that what you hollered that one out? Yeah. Oh, it was same role. Okay. Everybody. It wasn't me. It was her. It was her. Wow. The woman at the well, who was she? A messed up woman. Wow. But what was Jesus' message to her? "Those that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth." "You Jews," was her comment. "You Jews. You being a man, how is it that you talk to me, a woman, a Samaritan woman?" She was hung up on her circumstance, her cultural influence, that she was hindered to the message of the gospel. But what did Christ do? He got right up front and personal with her. Wow. You sit in the front row for a reason, sir. Wow. "I'm a man, you're a Samaritan woman, I don't care." Wow. "Because you have a message from God that's just for you." You, in fact, have had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not even your husband. And he told her life story. What was the response? She went back to the community and says, I've met a man that has told me everything I've ever did. It transformed and changed that community. That Samaritan community was changed not by a Jew, but by a Savior. Wow. We need to break free of our cultural distinctives. The hindrance. No, I can't go there. I can't do that. Oh, they're just hoodlums. I said that out loud, didn't I? Yes, I did. Okay. But I don't apologize for what I say. Okay? If I don't believe what I say and if I don't speak with authority, then I'm wasting your time. Go home. Go home. The word that is rendered abuse literally means blasphemy. They begin to abuse Christ. It means blasphemy. The two men shouted harsh, perhaps even obscene statements concerning these things sacred and things that Christ embraced as part of his life. In their own denying misery or dying misery, they directed their curses and abuses at the Son of God. So you're the great Messiah, the King of the Jews. Well, come on and get us out of this. The operative word here, of course, is us. They didn't care about Jesus saving himself. They were thinking solely of themselves. They wanted release. Yet even as the hardened evildoers were shouting at Jesus, something remarkable occurred. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are a murderer, the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." The Lord Jesus did not answer the taunting questions coming from one of the criminals. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But what was his answer to? "Today, when you come into your kingdom, remember me." Wow. Remember me. It's easy for us to defend ourselves because we feel entitled. How dare you talk to me like that? How can you speak that against me? May be our recourse. Brother Vanderplow, you read from Isaiah. Isaiah also tells us that he was as a sheep before his shearers. He was silent. Wow. We have not been created for the intent purpose of defending ourselves. Our only purpose as a believer, our only purpose as a child of the King, is to bring glory to God. That's our only purpose. So in the Greek text, the word here literally implies others of different kind. So aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. Jesus was silent, but the others answered. In the Greek word, as I said, literally implies of a different kind. Originally, this man was shouting abuses along with all the others. Now he was in the process of being changed. He was different. What's the matter with you? Wow. If we say it like where I grew up, what's the matter for you? What's the matter for you? I don't know, what's the matter for you? Don't you even fear God, since you're under the same sentence of condemnation? Don't you realize we are getting what we deserve? But this man is innocent. See, the change that begins to happen, the change that begins to happen not because of what Christ said, but because how Christ was showing himself, presenting himself, not defending himself. We're changing our world, aren't we? Well, some of you are, okay. We're changing our world, aren't we? Amen, walls! Okay. I was waiting for an echo. There we go. The change of heart, number two. What suddenly brought about the change in this criminal? I can think of at least two reasons for the second criminal's change of heart. First, he noticed the sign above Jesus' head. What did the sign say? King of the Jews. What was his question? When you come into your kingdom, remember me. How did he know that he was a king? He was hanging there because the consensus of all that were around that cross was that he was a criminal that was being slain, that was being slaughtered, that was being hung on a cross, executed for the crime of insurrection. Wow. An enemy of the state. King of the Jews. First, he noticed this is the King of the Jews. This was not intended as a declaration of truth. In fact, the Jewish leaders said to Pilate, don't let the sign read, this is the King of the Jews. They wanted it to say, he says that he's King of the Jews. But Pilate, remember his answer, I have written what I have written. Wow. God can use a rebel, reprobate, heathen procreator of a foreign government oppressing his people to speak his word. Wow. So don't think that God can't use you. All you need to be is willing. Wow. Turn to your neighbor here and go, yee-haw. There you go. I'm Balaam's ride today. The second thing, or the second factor that changed his heart was the silence of Christ, the way he handled all his abuse. I cannot overemphasize the importance of the written word and the godly life, a combination that can change even a hardened criminal. In his silence and control, Jesus offered the good news, the gospel that has the power to change a life. And the once hardened criminal responded. He realized the uniqueness of Christ. He saw in him more than just a man. With a mixture of desperation and faith, he pleads. And he said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. How did Jesus know Christ had a how did he know that Christ had a kingdom? He read this sign, the King of the Jews. Kings have kingdoms. He understood the truth. He realized he was a sinner unable to change himself. And he understood that this holy man could determine his eternal destiny. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. This brings me to a very practical point. Don't nitpick about what words people use to become a Christian. You got to pray this after me. A criminal, a murderer, a robber, a thief, hanging on a cross, unable to do anything for himself, to redeem himself, simply said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Wow. I'm trying. Oh. You ever find yourself wanting them to use precise, specific words, the right words? Do you believe a person can say, remember me when you come into your kingdom, Lord, and be saved? Obviously, Jesus did. Luke records the very good reminder. Let God deal with the attitude of the heart. Let the Holy Spirit give the sinner the words to say. Leave it between the sinner and God. Only He can read the attitude of the heart. Never underestimate the power and the providence of God. And never overestimate your own part in the process. You're just a sinner, just like the one you're speaking to. You need a redeeming just like them. You come to the same King. You bow your knee, and in repentance, you say, remember me. Remember me. Oh, God. Oh, God. Help me to see my inadequate, frail insecurities, incapabilities. God, help me to know. Help me to know that, God, I have a purpose, and that's to change my world one neighborhood at a time. One neighbor at a time. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Come with me and find out. Oh, there's just hypocrites that go to church. They say one thing, but they do something different. Oh, what church did you go to? Come with me. Come with me. Right? There's a million excuses. Don't pressure them in. Well, if you come with me, we got a potluck happening next week. You gotta come. From my Aboriginal perspective, that's the way to fill a house, isn't it, Lorna? Right? Got food on there. Whew. Never underestimate the impact of a godly life and a written message. Never underestimate the power of the providence of God. And never overestimate your own part in the process. God holds us responsible for sharing the gospel, for the living gospel in word and in deed. But He does not hold us accountable for what somebody else does with the gospel, what someone else does with the message of eternal life. Is the Lord's business. God's business. I shared the gospel with you. How come you aren't responding? You don't know what's going on in their heart. None of your business. What are you, the Holy Spirit? If you've said what you've done hasn't been bathed in prayer, chances are you're failing. Oh, I said that out loud too, didn't I? But God will redeem your failure, right? It isn't up to you and your failures. It isn't up to you and your mess. Sounds like Remembrance Day, doesn't it? Number three. Luke 23, 42 to 43. By the way, there's 4 points, so we still got some time, okay? Okay. I know it's not homiletical. We're only supposed to have three. Sorry. I told you I wasn't conventional. A person's turning point, number three, a person's turning point. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. If ever there was a deathbed conversion, this is it. The man, a sinner, who is dying on the cross. Remember the gospel account of the crucifixion? At the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they were going to go and break his legs, but they found he was already dead. Guess what? They broke the legs of the one who said, remember me. And the one that was railing vile, vehement statements against Christ. They broke their legs so that they would die. You know why? Because religion says this. Religion makes you feel good as you approach hell. I just thought I'd say that out loud. It does. Because religion said this, you cannot have somebody hanging on a tree on the holy Sabbath. Because cursed is he who hangs on a tree, is what the scripture would say. And they say, okay, then what? If we're going to hang somebody on a cross, the most gruesome torture there ever could be, let's break their legs. So that we don't mess up our religious day. Wow. What does that say about us on our Sunday? Where were you last Sunday? Oh, I saw somebody on my way to church, and I had to spend some time praying with them and ministering to them, and they came to Jesus Christ. What? You missed church to lead somebody to Christ? What kind of heathen are you? Don't you know this is the most holy day there is? You know? I think the statement was made, there's nothing special about this day. Let me tell you, it is. There's something special about this day. You know, special about this day? This is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day. And worship doesn't have to happen in the confines of this building, but worship needs to happen every moment of every day. On your way to church, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto God and not unto man. I don't come to church to worship God. I come to church to brush shoulders with those who worship God, so I can build relationship. I can be in community. I can hang on a cross next to the one who is my Redeemer. Wow. The Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. And Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. Don't pass too quickly. Pass that all-important word today. This very day, the thief on the cross cries out for salvation, and the Lord hears and answers. Can you imagine it? One moment his leg is being broken, and in a few short hours or even moments, he would die because he would no longer be able to breathe. He wouldn't be able to push himself up. His lungs would fill with fluid. He would drown in the old fluid of his body. He would suffocate because he couldn't breathe. And in a torturous pain, he would exit this life and immediately be in the kingdom of heaven. Wow. You with me? What better thing, what greater thing can happen than that? Break his legs. And he thought this is the end. But little did he know that his request, today, remember me. Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't know the ramifications of such a sweet, short, little statement. Wow. He died in pain and torture, and he awoke in the presence of Almighty God. Wow. Wow. You with me? Remember me. Wow. Yes, remember me. Remember me. He doesn't have to perform 6 months of good work to earn heaven. He doesn't have to be baptized. He doesn't even have to pass through 1 week of probation period where he can prove himself worthy of the calling of eternal life. Grace abounds on that basis, and then he is accepted in God's kingdom. Pay close attention, please. Faith. Faith. That's what it is, faith. It's as simple and complex as that. Faith alone, in Christ alone, sola fide. The statement of Martin Luther, sola fide. Faith alone. Wow. That's all that God wants. And that's all that we can offer. We offer God anything else, it's a waste of effort, a waste of energy, a waste of resources. There we go. I knew it was lingering there somewhere. Somewhere. Yes. Wow. So point number four. Finally. Well, we still have 3 pages, okay? Okay. I see 4 lessons for us in these second words from the cross. Remembrance Day is for us this. Lesson number one. No one's ever too far gone to become a Christian. No one's ever too far gone to become a Christian. How many have heard of Mel Trotter? Anybody? Mel Trotter, I'll tell you a story. He was an alcoholic that cared about only one thing in life, his next drink. Even the needs of his family meant nothing to him. When his child became deathly ill, he was given money to get medicine. And the child needed. Trotter bought booze instead, and the child died. Before the funeral, Trotter stole the shoes from the body of his child in the casket to buy more booze. You probably think no one can get lower than that, but he did. Eventually, bleary-eyed and broken, he slumped down in the back row of a city mission where the words of a hymn pierced through his drink-fogged brain. That very night, Mel Trotter came to know Christ. A revolutionary change took place in his life, and as a result of his leadership today, missions in the heart of many cities are ministering to broken men and women like Mel Trotter, feeding their bodies, and more importantly, their souls. No one is beyond reach of the gospel. No one is too far gone to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Believe that. No one's too far gone. So remember point number four. Lessons for us today. One was this, no one's too far gone. Second lesson, lesson number two. The printed page in the godly life has two most effective tools of evangelism. The printed page. Psalm 46:10. I take and I put it into the Starling paraphrases, this, shut up and listen. Okay. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. That's all I need to know. Shh. Be still, I take it to be quiet, because this, my mom, tiny little woman, frail, some would say, oh man, can she wield a wooden spoon? Oh. A lot of the places where we grew up, we had no electricity, we had no running water, and we had a one-room house. Wooden cook stove. Next to it, a potbelly cast iron stove. In the middle of winter, that house was nice and warm. When you throw seven people in there, it's really warm. 12 by 28. About smaller than that side section over there. That's what we lived in. Oh, sorry, we had a two-room house. The other room was just detached, is out about 40 yards out back. Just a small little one-holer, right? Yeah. And in the cold of winter, when it's dark at 4:30 in the afternoon, or when we lived in the Yukon, it was 3:30 or 3 o'clock. Dark. Doesn't get light until 10:30 in the morning. So long, long nights. When you get four boys and one little girl in there, it can get kind of rambunctious. And mom would say, be still. We knew what that means. You better go sit on your bed and be quiet, because there's a wooden spoon coming. So when God says, be still, it means I better sit down, shut up, and listen. Listen. Lesson number two. The printed page, the godly life are two of the most effective tools of evangelism. The printed page includes both the scripture and which relates to scripture. It's amazing how God can use spirit-directed words. You don't have to be called into preaching ministry to be a witness and to be used effectively by God. The real message is yours, is your life. And when life has created a thirst on the part of the interested party, you will have all the words you need to tell him or her about the Savior. Live a life. Live a life. Every action should declare glory to God. Every action. Every deed. Declare glory to God. Third, lesson number three, then, under point number four. All that God wants and accepts is simple faith. It's all he wants, and that's what he accepts. This is Remembrance Day. And may Remembrance Day, and the day after Remembrance Day, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. On Christmas Eve, when you gather in this house, may you remember this today. Today, when you come into your kingdom. Today you will be with me in paradise. Christ remembers us. Wow. Remembrance Day. Remembrance's Day, on this Remembrance Day, we rejoice in this, that it's the work of the cross that brings us to a place where God would be able to say, the Father would be able to say, I must not pass judgment on them, for I see the blood and I pass over them. Wow. He remembers me. He remembers me because he's in his kingdom. Why would Jesus say, make statements like this? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know, he tells his parables, and often that's a precursor to the parable that he would tell. The kingdom of heaven is like unto, right? Wow. The kingdom of heaven, we begin to see and we begin to understand that the kingdom of heaven is just as much as what happens and transpires within the context of this building, amongst this community of believers, amongst this fellowship that we have, as it is when we walk down the streets of this city. When we walk and we pass the drunk that is on the street, that is sleeping, that is sleeping in the gutter somewhere. Wow. Well, we find somebody that's affluent with their nose so far in the air they're drowning in the rain. Oops, I said that out loud. We don't have that in this city. Yeah, you're blind. You're blind. There's such a dichotomy between the haves and the have-nots. And if you don't see the have-nots, because you're focusing on your own need, you're focusing on your own wants. You're focusing on your own desires. You're not focusing on your purpose. You have no value in Remembrance Day. Today, when you come into your kingdom. I'm not speaking to everybody in this house. I'm maybe not even speaking to anybody in this house. But maybe you know somebody that is like that. Your response is not, I need to go and tell them this message. No, it isn't. You need to continue to live the way you need to live before them. A powerful testimony and the written word will transform a life. This church was rented out to an Aboriginal man over Thanksgiving weekend. Reynold Milton. They invited me to be the speaker, and I preached from a chair because at that time, a month ago, I couldn't even walk. Sat on a stool. I hollered like I'm hollering today. I just spit really hard because he sat so far back. His house was full of people that normally wouldn't be in this house. Full of people that aren't in this house today. Something wrong with that. Just saying, okay? Lesson number three. All that God wants and accepts is simple faith. The criminal hanging alongside Jesus was not ushered into paradise on the basis of anything he had done. It was God's grace that opened the doors and invited him in. Anytime you are tempted to believe that salvation by good works offers, just remember the believing thief on the cross. Helpless, hopelessly lost, totally depraved, guilty of wrong, condemned to die by crucifixion, unable to change any of that. On his personal record, with only a few hours to live, he says in simple faith, remember me. Remember me. Nothing has changed. Salvation has not gotten more complicated. Simple faith is still the only way. You hear me? Simple faith is still the only way. So number four, and I close with this. You know how it's Pentecostal? Closing means that I'm going to take at least 20 minutes. No. Okay. Never doubt your instant acceptance into God's family when you open your heart to him. Wow. On Remembrance Day, if it could only be this, I'm a part of the family of God. I'm a child of the King. I am in his kingdom because he's remembered me. Wow. He remembered my prayer of faith. God, I renounce my rebellion. I cease my sin. From this day forward, I exalt you. I worship you. I glorify you. Jesus holds a man on the cross beside him. He told the man on the cross beside him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Immediately he was forgiven, accepted, and promised heaven. This flies in the face of every humanistic self-help program you've ever heard or participated in. I'm not trying to diminish it, but I'm saying that there's something better. Something better. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, John 14:6. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I'm bound for hell. There's nothing I can bring you to merit your favor. But Father, I receive your Son at this moment. By faith, like a child, I ask Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I believe he died as my substitute and was raised for me. I believe he paid the full payment for my sin. Right now, I offer myself to him in faith. I close with that.